We've been looking at, on Sunday mornings, how to make a difference in the world around us. And gleaning from the scriptures, if you want to say, out of 1 Kings chapter 22 this morning, we've seen several characters already, one being the prophet Elijah, other being King Asa, and others that actually really made a difference. And you know, that's all that's going to matter, my friends, one day when we stand before our Savior, before our Judge. What did we do for Him, right? Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And that's a true saying. And I hope that you are striving to make that difference in the lives of people around you. 1 Kings 22, we're going to enter and see a little bit, a few other characters, but enter into a scenario here of what's happening. Now, just a context to catch up a little bit, there's war that's breaking out in Israel because of the disobedience of the nation, because of the people of God disobeying the Lord. They are now entering into a tremendous time of fighting and battling with their enemies, and they come together. This is the time of the divided kingdom. Remember that. You have Israel and you have Jerusalem, and the two kings at this point actually come together. Now, notice verse number 3, if you will, there. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, "Know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria?" And he said unto Jehoshaphat, "Wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead?" And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "I am as thou art. My people is thy people. My horses is thy horse." He says, "Absolutely, I'm with you." And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, "Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today." Now remember, King Ahab is the most wicked king, the Bible says, up to date. Very wicked. And Jehoshaphat says, "Let's inquire of the Lord." Verse 6, then the king of Israel, he gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, "Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? Should I go or not go?" And they said, "Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king." Notice verse 7. And Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not here a prophet, notice, of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him?" Little insulting to those 400 prophets, but he had enough horse sense about him to say, "Is there not a real prophet here?" Verse 8, and the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, "There is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah," notice this, "by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. For he doth what? Not prophesy good concerning me, but evil." And Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say so." What's he saying? This guy prophesies the truth, calls evil evil and good good. Do you remember the prophet? He'll later say, "Woe to them that call good evil and evil good." Now that's America today. We call good evil and evil good. Now again, we're talking about making a difference here. We'll continue in a minute. As this man is called or summoned to the king, he's a prophet of God, making a difference. I'm reminded of the two men. They were out fishing one sunny day. And if you've ever gone out on the water, you know those storms can come up rather quickly upon you. And sure enough, the storm rose up on them, and it was a horrible storm, and they tried to row and row and row, and the boat capsized, threw them both into the water. And they swam around there in the sea and finally made it to a little deserted island there. And they looked at each other, and the one guy said, "Man, we're never going to get found. We're on a deserted island. We're going to starve to death." And in those cases, you look at each other like, "Yeah, I could eat you. Yeah, I could probably..." But they looked at each other, and the one guy's just falling apart, man. "We're going to die. Nobody's out of here." And the other guy just got his hand. He's laid back on the shore. He says, "Are you not concerned? We're going to die." He says, "No, I'm good. I'm not scared." He says, "What makes you so confident?" He said, "I just made an annual commitment to my church of $100,000. He said, "Trust me, my pastor will find me." Trust me, he'll find me. I'm not all about money. Okay, I'm just kidding. He made a difference in his church, didn't he? He made a true difference. Now, again, let's hasten here. I must get into this. Notice some things here. First of all, that there is an opportunity given, and there will be an opportunity for every one of us at some point to be called or summoned by the Lord. To what? Make a difference. In this case, this man who we have no clue where he came from, this prophet Micaiah, he just pops on the scene. But apparently he'd been walking with the Lord. I mean, apparently he's God's man for the hour. And you know, sometimes you'll serve God for lengths of time, years and decades, maybe even a lifetime without anyone ever patting you on the back. Hey, good job. Thanks for coming to church. Good job raising your family. Good job serving the Lord. Nobody ever says that, but there will come a time. There will come a time. And it may be short. It may be short, but are we prepared? Are we ready? Are we at the disposal of the Lord? Are we at His beck and call, if you want to say? We're ready, Lord. Use us. Now notice, first of all, there's a plan to conquer. A plan to conquer. The king says, now let's inquire. He says, okay, well, I've got 400 men. Notice they're not called prophets of the Lord. They're called prophets. There's a lot of prophets in the world today that are not prophets of the Lord. They're fakes. They're frauds. Now, notice the plan to conquer. And they say, go up and conquer. Go up, the battle's yours, which is not the truth. The world today has a plan to conquer. The world today is seeking to conquer. They want to take and destroy everything the Lord's created. In fact, there's even false prophets among the brethren that are seeking to cause division. I said this last week. But Jesus talks about the wolves in sheep's clothing. You remember that? Do you know the only way to distinguish them? It's not that you look and go, boy, grandma, what big teeth you have. Boy, you smell like a wolf. You stink. No, 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 none of that. They're so disguised as a sheep, the only way you can tell them is what? Their fruit. What they produce, what they do. Isn't that interesting? We often think, oh, we can tell a wolf as soon as they come in the church. No, you can't. They are so, as we talked about on Wednesday, the Antichrist and the Christ. He's such an imitator of Christ, it will be very difficult to tell. And those that are not saved will be deceived by the Antichrist. And they'll say, well, he is our Messiah. Look, he has all the markings of the Christ to come. Now, thinking about this here, we need to follow the plan of God. They followed the plan of the king. Notice the presumption of victory. The presumption of victory. You don't have to turn there this morning, but Psalm 2 is a great chapter. And it talks about what? The kings of the earth set themselves together against God. All the armies set themselves together against the Lord. And what's it say? He will have them in derision. That's confusion. Absolute confusion today. We see that, don't we? Everyone's fighting with each other. They're all confused. They don't know what's going on. They don't have no idea. And then it says he will laugh. God will laugh at them. They will come against Almighty God and they will lose. Notice the presumption of victory. He says, should we go up? Should we go up? And verse 6, they say, go up. For the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Shall we go up? Yes, you shall. The prophecy, notice, of the ungodly. Notice their answer was quick and pleasing. Quick and pleasing. Whatever you want, king, whatever it is for you, just as long as you don't hurt us. If they would have prophesied against the king would have had off with their head, right? That's what the world does. False prophets, what do? Whatever you think, whatever's good for us. See, they weren't thinking or planning of what the army would come into the countryside and into their little city and do and ravage the women and rape the women and kill all the kids. And they didn't care about that. What did they care about? Their own hide, their own backside, didn't they? Whatever you want, king. Quick and pleasing. The world wants everything quick and pleasing. See, this is why the spiritually mature believer understands, as we said last week, when we don't get what we want, when we don't get it according to our timetable, it's not that God isn't listening. It's not that God doesn't care. It's not that God doesn't love us. It's what? God, in fact, loves us so much, He knows we can't handle it. He knows that, what? It's going to ruin me. He's protecting me, one, and He's positioning me. As we said, nothing in your life is out of God's control. He either ordains it or permits it. Why? Why? Notice this. We trust the Lord. We trust Him. I saw a story just recently again of the, I think it was I can't remember the guy's name, but he won the lottery. Have you seen these people? I feel so sorry for him. I mean, you think for yourself, if I could just win the lottery, man. If I could just, man, that would just solve all my problems. No, it doesn't. What happens? It ruins their life, doesn't it? And this guy is doing, I think, a life sentence because he ended up killing one of his friends over something. I don't know what happened. He was a lottery winner, umpteen million dollars. It ruins their lives. You know, God keeps things from you. God doesn't always answer your prayers the way you want it. And there's something in Scripture called due time. That means God's timing. Why? He's protecting us. And these prophets come and give a quick and pleasing answer. God says, no, no, not yet. Notice the prophet, though. The prophet of the Lord is defined in verse 7. Is there not a prophet besides? Now, you imagine, there's 400 guys standing over here on the side. Do you think they wanted to rip this guy's head off? You're calling us, you're saying we're not prophets of the Lord? Is there not a prophet besides here that can define things for us? In the book of Ezekiel, God is speaking to Ezekiel. I'd encourage you to read through that book, by the way. What a fascinating book. And he says, Ezekiel, I want you to prophesy to the nation of Israel. And he says, I'm going to warn you of something. He says, they're not going to listen to you. Ezekiel said, well, what in the world would I do it for then anyways? I mean, why would I prophesy to the people? They're not even going to listen. He says, for this reason, that they will know there's a prophet among them. Why? Because at judgment day, they can't point their finger at God and say, God, you never told me. Yeah, we didn't listen. Yeah, we wouldn't have turned, but you never even told us. No, he says, I want you to know there was a prophet among them. There's a prophet among you. That's what he says. Let's define the prophets here. Now, you know the Old Testament standard by which a prophet was defined. If you recall back, God came to Moses out in the wilderness, and he says this. Here's how you know that there's a prophet. If there a guy comes and arises in the camp and says, Moses, I'm a prophet. He says, okay. If he prophesies something and says today's not a good day, but if it's going to rain here at 3 o'clock. Oh, great. Okay. And guess how? It's real simple. If it comes to pass, you'll know that I spoke through that man as a prophet. If it doesn't, he's a liar. You take him out and you stone him to death. He's a false prophet. Now, think about that. Real simple. Real simple. This is a man that prophesied, and we're going to see that in just a minute here. He prophesied the truth. And you know, the truth often does not feel good, does it? We share the gospel with people, and it's not easy to do. It's very difficult. But you share the gospel with people, and here's the crux of it. Here's the cross of it. Is that you say, sir, do you know something? Do you know where you're going to go when you die? No, I haven't thought about that. Well, do you know that you're a sinner, and that I'm a sinner, and that everyone who's ever lived is a sinner, except for one man that walked this earth by the name of Christ? And do you know that? And do you know that if you died today without repenting and turning to Christ and accepting Him as your personal Savior, not by works, not by church membership, not by baptism, it's by faith alone, do you know if you accept Him, you'll have a home in heaven? If you reject that, you'll have damnation. Yeah, that's hard to do, isn't it? It's hard to tell people that. But that's the truth, and they need to hear it. And again, we need to stand up and say, you know what? They may reject the gospel. They may outcast me. They may turn on me, but they will know there's a prophet among them. They cannot look back on judgment day and point their bony finger at me and say, Brother Tim never told me. He never told me. Oh, how sad that is for me personally. I know there'll be many folks that will do that. He never told me. Now notice they prophesy in the name of the Lord. They prophesy in the name of the Lord, but they are not of the Lord. Not of the Lord. Now let's continue here. Verse 9. Then the king of Israel called an officer, said, hasten thither, Micaiah, the son of Imla. He says, go get him. The king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on his throne, having put on their robes in a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. Now notice this. This is hilarious. And Zedekiah, the son of Chenana, however you say that, made him horns of iron and said, thus saith the Lord, with thee shalt thou push the Syrians until thou have consumed them. Now, hang on a second. Do you think of God speaking through an individual who puts horns on his head? I'm thinking of somebody else, aren't you? And in the world, by the way, the world makes a mockery of Satan. And Satan wants them to think he's funny. Satan wants the world to make a mockery of sin. They get this guy painted up red, put horns on his head, and have a little tail and a pitchfork, don't they? Oh, the devil made me do it. Oh, it's funny. And we know it's not funny. He's a real enemy. He's a real being. But this bozo puts these horns on his head and says, "Thus shall ye push the Syrians. Thou wilt consume them." Verse 12, "And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, Go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand." Now notice 13, I love this. "And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, Now Micaiah, okay, now behold, now the words of the prophets declare good unto the king. With one mouth, they're all in unity. Now let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good." Can you please just butter it up and put some candy coating on it? Now, Micaiah, don't mouth off to the king, okay? Notice what he says. Micaiah said, "As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak." That I'll tell the king what the Lord tells me. By the way, that's all we're supposed to do, friends. We didn't write it. We just recite it. That's all we do. People get real nervous. "Oh, I don't know how to tell people about the Lord. I don't know what to say. I'm not really good with Scripture, and I don't know." You don't need to know all that. You just need to recite the Word. You just need to tell them what God did for you. And that's what the true prophet here says, Micaiah. "I'll just say what God tells me to say." "Yeah, but don't you know the king's going to punish you?" "So be it." "Yeah, but don't you know the world will hate you?" "So be it." You folks in here, some of you have lost friends because of your faith. You've lost family members because of your faith. They don't like what you do. They don't like what you stand for, right? The prophets defined, I like this. You know that people see and know if you're authentic and real? They know. They know. Are we real? Verse 15, "So he came to the king. The king said unto him, Ugh, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? He answered him, Go, prosper." I like this guy. "For the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king." Go ahead, go. That's what you want to hear. Go ahead. "And the king said unto him, How many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord?" What's he saying? "You making a mockery of me. I know you're not for us." And he said, "I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd." Who else said that? Remember Jesus said that? He said, and the Lord said, "These have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace." And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, "Did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil?" And he said, "Hear thou therefore the word of the Lord." Okay, I'll tell you what God said. "I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and on the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, Who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall or die at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said on this manner, another said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. The Lord said unto him, Wherewith? He said, I will go forth and will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, Thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. Zedekiah, son of Chenana, went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, Which way went the Spirit of the Lord from thee to speak to thee? And Micaiah said, Behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. The king of Israel said, Take Micaiah and carry him back unto Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, Thus saith the king, Put this fellow in the prison. Feed him with the bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I come in peace. Micaiah said, If thou shalt thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. He said, Hearken, O people, every one of you. Isn't that a fascinating dialogue? He says, Okay, I'll tell you what God said. I'll go ahead and relay to you what the Lord says. And what happens? The Lord said, I'll put a lying spirit in these prophets to tell you to go up and die. God's plan for you, Ahab, is that you die. You're evil for what you've done. And he gets nothing in return but a slap in the face, imprisonment, and as far as we know, he was tortured to death the rest of his day. I don't want to follow God if that's what's in it. I mean, I don't want to be a prophet of God if that's what it's for me. My friends, where are we today? We have a decision to make. A decision. You think about this, that he says, I will speak the words of the Lord. I will tell you what God has for me and for you. And at the end of it, Micaiah pleads with all the people listening. He says, hear me, O people. Hear me, because the truth is here. There's a plea today to please, pleasing man, pleasing those around us. I've said it many times, but I must say it again. When you seek to please the Lord only, you will then please everyone you're supposed to please around you. And that's a problem for me, and I know it's for you. We seek to please people, and it often gets us in trouble. But I'll please the people God wants me to please. And Paul says you can't please everybody, but there's a push today to please. I like what he says, I'll speak what the Lord tells me to speak. My friends, can I encourage you to get in this book? For me, it's a challenge. For me, it feels like I don't have time. For me, it feels like I just don't want to. You ever feel that way? It's too boring. It's hard to read. Once you get into it, though, you find the treasures of the Lord, the treasures of the Word. You get back into it. You read through it. You ought to be reading through it at least once a year. You ought to be on a schedule at least to read through it once a year and seeking the Word of God in your life so that you can what? Then quote the Word. What will you speak in that day? What will you speak in that day when they come and try to arrest us for our faith? I think that's coming soon. I think they'll start shutting down the churches, and I think they'll start to confiscate our Bibles, and I think they're going to do all these things. What are we going to do? We're going to stand or fold. Stand or fold. Notice the answer given as we think about it. I must hasten here. He knew what to do. And he told the king and the people exactly what God was going to do. Exactly what he said he's going to do. And there will be people on that day that will say, Lord, I had no idea I was supposed to do that. And the Lord, the Bible says, out of his mouth comes a sharp two-edged sword. Which is what? It's the Word of God, isn't it? Hebrews 4:12. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. We read on Wednesday, talked about that sword that comes out of the mouth of Jesus Christ and consumes the people. People say a physical sword coming out of his mouth? No, he's talking about the Word of God. He's going to speak the Word. For some reason or another, we don't understand all of it. That word spoken will literally consume these people. The power of the word, that's what he talks about, right? It's quick, means it's living, it's powerful. You and I speak the word of God. This man says what? I will speak that. Now he goes forth. Are we going to make a difference today? Sure. What's it going to cost me? What's it going to cost me? Well, it may cost you your reputation. It may cost you your life. It may cost you everything. Listen, Micaiah was fine sitting at home. And here comes a knock on the door. He looks out the window. Oh, good night. It's the king's servant. What's he want? Listen, hey, I'm fine. I preach on Sundays, preach on Sunday night, preach on Wednesday. Hey, we're good to go, man. There's no opposition. I'm fine. Just don't bother me. I won't bother you. Well, there's coming a day soon when that's going to change. And God's called us to action. And he says, well, the king summons you. Well, what's he want? Well, he wants you to come and tell him what to do. No, he didn't do that. Who's with him? Who told him to do that? Oh, Jehoshaphat. Oh, okay. Who did? What does he want? Well, now just tell the king, okay, just tell him what he wants to hear. Isn't that the world? Tell the world, tell us what we want to hear. Don't talk about the things of the word. Don't talk about sin and judgment. That's what we want today. Tell us what we want to hear. Tickle the ears. Remember what Paul tells Timothy? And the latter days, they will heap to themselves teachers having what? Itching ears. Never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. What is that? They're constantly, that tickled my ear, but it's still itchy, scratchy. I need something more. I need something more. I want to encourage you and warn you. Be careful about some of these characters on social media and TV. Be careful. How do I know if they're right or wrong, Brother Tim? Again, do they follow the book? All this sensational stuff today, this, you know, this nonsense. I'm not trying to be mean, but it's nonsense. They drop the lights down real dark, turn the fog machine on, they're rocking out hardcore and this and that. I think they love the Lord. But I'm saying there's a lot of these people prancing around and doing all this stuff. and they're not right on the scriptures. We talked about a little bit about what's going on with Hillsong. All of that fell apart. All of that fell apart. Why? They deviated from the Word. We're susceptible to those things as well. We're no perfect people, but I'm just saying, we do our dead level best to stick with the Word. And Micaiah said, I'm going to go and stick with the Word. Now go ahead and tell the king what he wants to hear. No, I'll tell you what God said. I will speak. The concentration on the Word of God. Shall we go forth? Sure. Go ahead. Notice the precaution he gives, the prescription he gives, but also the persecution that he endures. I tried to warn you. I tried to warn every one of you. My friends, today, if you're going to make a difference, you must know the will of God. And again, you will not be in the will of God outside of the Word of God. You walk outside of the Word of God, you ain't going to be in the will of God. I'm sorry, why? Because we have a natural tendency to do our own thing, don't we? Well, that seems the right way. That looks like the right way. No. What does the Bible say? You know, it takes a lot of pressure off you, and it takes a lot of responsibility off my shoulders. I don't got to figure everything out. I just let the Lord do it. Let the Spirit lead. Jesus Christ said, I'll send you a comforter in my place. And what will he do? One of the things he'll do is what? Remind us of everything Jesus said. Isn't that wonderful? He will give us and remind us and direct us and lead us in the things of God. Okay, I must wrap it up here. We see God's plan unfold as we've saw it before. You know God's plan unfolds for us if we'll just listen. You know Noah walked out one day and he looked up and a raindrop hit him right in the forehead. And he said, okay, he was right. Okay, I'm glad I built that ark. You know, Joseph went down into the prison cell and was beaten and tortured and molested. And he came up out of that prison cell with not a bitter heart. What did he do? He came out with the joy of the Lord. Why? Because he trusted God's plan, not man's plan. Man's plan for him was destruction. Man's plan for him was to be a slave. Joseph's plan, or for his own life, but he knew it was God's plan, was what? Victory. Became the most powerful man in the world. Isn't that a wonderful story? I just got through 1 Samuel 17. David goes down into the valley after being picked on by his brothers in the mockery. By the way, they knew David was going to go down and get killed, and they sent him anyways. King Saul says, but you're but a youth. And he says, well, is there not a cause? Can I go down into the valley? And they said, well, I guess we could send him down if he gets killed. Maybe we could do something. They just sent him down to get killed. They didn't trust David. They didn't believe in David. And David had a plan, and his plan was God's plan. It wasn't man's plan. Man's plan was they were cowering in the tents, weren't they? David goes down, and Goliath makes fun of him, mocks him, and says, you sent me out a little kid? And what happens? David said, you'll know today. You'll know today. If you ever read that, listen to what David says. The maturity of David at about 17 years old. He says, you will know, and they will know, and your army will know, there is a God here. There's a God in Israel. Where did he get that? Those sleepless nights out on the grassy knoll with those sheep staring at the stars. That's where David got it, spending time with God. The amazing wisdom that we can get by just spending time with God. And anyways, he grabs a sling, throws it, hits the guy right in the forehead. And by the way, David didn't wait to find out if he was just knocked out or dead, did he? Oh, whew, I did it from a distance. Sometimes we do it from a distance. But David said, I better not. He ran up, took the sword out of his Goliath sword, and what? Cuts his head off just to make sure of it. I'm just talking about some of these characters that they didn't rely upon man's plan. You know man's plan this morning? Our economy's falling apart. You tried to fill up your truck lately or your car? I mean, just falling apart. God has a plan, though, for you, and God has a plan for me. And if we'll trust the plan, it will do it in the face of adversity, in the face of all of these things, as Abraham took his only son, up to Mount Moriah, bound his hands and his feet, and said, God, are you sure you know what you're doing? Are you sure you want me to sacrifice my only son? And he lifts that knife up to plunge it directly into his heart, and the angel of the Lord grabs his arm and stops him. Whew. The plan sometimes seems a little off. But I'm just saying today, in order to make a difference, we trust the plan of God. The plan of God. The prophecy of the ungodly? Sure. They're going to prophesy against us. We give a politically correct answer. We see the perception of truth, all these things I have here. But ultimately, what happens? They go up and they fall. They fall, as we conclude here, they fall. Now, let's get down here. Verse 33. And it came to pass when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him. And a certain man drew a bow at a vesture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Hang on a sec. Do you realize how detailed precision that was? You think that guy drew his bow back and just shot it? Yeah, randomly. God directed the arrow, didn't he? Between the harness. This little section right here that wasn't covered. You think Goliath came down to the valley? The Bible says he was fully clothed in armor. There's a little spot right here. God knows what he's doing. Now notice as we continue, wherefore he said unto the driver of his chariot, turn thine hand and carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. And the battle increased that day, and the king was stayed up in his chariot against the Syrians and died at even. And the blood ran out of the wound and in the midst of the chariot. He died at even. Do you realize how long it took him to die? Several hours. What do you think he thought about as he was crunched there in his chariot bleeding to death? I'm not trying to be gross, but what do you think he thought about? You think he thought about the 400 prophets? Yeah, he was mad. You prophesied a lie. I think he thought about Micaiah's words. I don't know what happened to this man. He could have repented. He could have gotten saved right at the... I don't know. But you think he thought about that? Do you think he thought about Micaiah's words? Do you think he thought, man, he was right? It was the word of God. I am going to die. Oh, my friends, think about that. People may reject you, cast you off. Your Christianity is not real. It's fake. It's false. I don't want nothing to do with you. But I'm telling you, one day they will remember what you told them. They will remember the word. They will remember. You have wayward kids this morning. They're grown adult children, but they're wayward. They're in the world. Let me tell you something. You keep praying for them, they'll come back. You keep praying for them. We believe in intercessory prayer. That means you pray on behalf of your kids. You may have a mother, father, somebody that's not living for God. You pray for them. You keep praying for them. I'm telling you, they're going to remember the word. They're going to think of the word. We need people speaking the word today, no matter what it costs them. We need people like Micaiah that'll speak the word. At this very moment that he was lying, bleeding to death, Micaiah was in a prison cell being tortured. But guess what? They knew a prophet was among them. Somebody had enough guts to speak the truth. We need more Christians with a little more guts, don't we? Man, we're weak. I'm speaking to myself. Shallow sometimes. Boy, it's easy to spout off and mouth off and push our weight around everywhere we go. But when it comes to talking about the things of the Lord, we get real quiet. Anyone here at work a Christian? I dare you tomorrow. You're a much better Christian than I am. Just pray over your lunch. It's what do people do? They go, he's losing it. What's he doing? He's one of those fanatics. He's been going to Brother Tim's church. He's crazy. I'm telling you, right? You folks, many of you tell me that. You stand for Christ at work. And what man, people come against you. I'm just saying today, making a difference, boy, it's not easy to do. And it's never been easy for the Christian. It's never been easy for God's people. They took our Master and Savior, and He spoke the truth. He spoke the truth, and they stuck Him up on a cross to suffer and die, didn't they? And Jesus made this statement right before He died. He said, if they hate me, they're going to hate you. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Why? You carry my name. You're part of my family. You're one of my children. And I'll close with this today. Do you know Christ is your Savior today? If you were to die today, I try and say this as often as I can. Do you know Him? Do you know the Lord is your Savior? You say, yes, I do. Now, are you living for Him? My friends, today, the Bible says we ought to be drawing closer to Christ as we see that day approaching. That day is twofold. One is the return of Christ, but also your death day. We're all going to die. Are you drawing closer to Christ as you get older? Are you getting closer? Are you serving Him more? Are you dedicating your life more to Him? Oh, I pray you will be. And I pray that you will make a difference just as this man did. Make a difference. Lord, no matter the cost, Why? This world is temporal. Everything in it, everything they push, everything they promote, it's all temporal, and it's all for the here, now, and now. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue, right? I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Why? This ain't my home. I'm pressing on the upward way, as we sang. My home's somewhere else, and I'm looking forward to that. And I know you are as well. All right, I'll stop there. Let us pray. Father, thank you again for time to share your word. I know, Father, these folks are faithful to you. They love you, and I praise you for that. I pray you'd help each one of us, Lord. As I preach, I'm preaching first and foremost to myself, that God, I need to make a difference in those lives around me. So easy to be quiet, so easy sometimes to be silent in the face of this world. But Father, we pray you'd strengthen us by your Holy Spirit to make a difference in the lives of those around us. Do what you've told us to do. Again, we don't have to make up anything. We just, Lord, recite what you've already told us. As Micaiah said, I'll speak what the Lord told me to speak. And Lord, I pray for your strength to do that. Sometimes easy to say, hard to do. But Lord, I pray for that. Help us especially to reach the people around us that know you not, Lord, as we see that day approaching. We praise you for your grace, for the precious word of God, for the Holy Spirit's help this morning. I pray we'd go forth from here afresh, renewed, and strengthened through thy word. We do thank and love you in Jesus' precious name, and amen.